This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be focusing on that in a little while. But we're going through somewhat of a bit of a series on Sunday afternoons here about the values of Narara Valley Baptist Church. It's as Craig often says, it's how we do things around here. It's what we consider important if you want to be a part of the family here. And there are four different values, and one of them tonight we're going to look at is gratitude and generosity. NVBC, for those who are new to the church, we started here about 43, 44 years ago. How old are you now, Craig? No, you weren't here back then. But it started as a small group, who had a vision to reach the valley and the Central Coast with the gospel. And it was to glorify God. And so over those 43 years, we've been generating what makes us special? What do we value here at Narara Valley Baptist Church? And one of the things that has really come out of that is a real sense of gratitude and generosity. My family, my wife and I, Shivana and I, lived in the United States for about 6 years, way back, a long time ago. And we were there pretty much on our own. And my parents decided to come over one year, about 2 years into our stay over there. And it just happened to be around Thanksgiving. Now, if you know anything about America, Thanksgiving is like second to Christmas as the time to get together as families. And if you're a turkey or if you're a pig, you have no chance to live throughout that period of time. It's turkey season, it's ham and everything else and all the dressings. And it's fill up your tummy time. But one thing that they do is they spend time giving thanks for all the good things and all the things that have happened. So as my parents were with us, we decided to kind of get into the American thing and celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, we don't, trace our ancestry back to pilgrims and whatever for the Americans, but we utilize that time to give thanks. Simply give thanks to God for one another, for our lives, for what's been happening. And ever since, for the last, say, 25 years, my family have been pretty much getting together because Australia, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We can make it any time of the year we want. So whatever time it suits the family to get together. We get together for a meal, and maybe sometimes it's a turkey or a ham, but we get together and we just surround a table, and as we're eating this meal together, we stop and we basically just share something that has happened in the past year that they are thankful to God for. We found that to be an incredibly moving and significant time in our family, not only because we get to get around the table together, and we're talking about a large extended family, but also the fact that we can reflect on the year gone by and say, what are we thankful for? What can we be thankful for? Sometimes it's easy, but there's always one or two in that family that are really struggling or have really struggled through the year. And it's really touching to get to that point and say, thank you, God, for the struggles. Thank you, God, for the joys of this last year. And so I guess throughout the first part of what I'm going to share tonight, let me help you to reflect on things that you can be grateful for. And maybe this might help you to think a bit. We've got a video to show you.
This stuff?
Yeah.
It's unprecedented how many times we've actually heard the word unprecedented.
Our dream vacation was canceled.
You got to keep the job you don't like.
You know they can see you?
But let me tell you all the no's, friends. No going to restaurants, no movie theaters, no movie theater popcorn, no state parks, no going to athletic events, no church services, and no...
Don't say it. Don't.
Hey, kids! You've got to be more careful with the toilet paper! This is all we have.
All the drive-by birthday parties, graduations, baby showers.
I will say this, I felt a little awkward throwing out that baby shower gift into the front yard.
You weren't supposed to do that.
It just feels like a wasted year. I said it.
There's just all the time at home.
And all the time that we were made to spend together. Hey, honey? Honey?
Leave me alone! All the heart-to-hearts. Mm. Goodness.
Speaking of hearts, our son, Jason, right over there, said yes to Jesus. Right at that kitchen table.
July 17th, 2020.
You know, I guess it's not really wasted time because God didn't waste a moment of it.
I think I have the answer to what I'm thankful for.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, sure. Last year was a very tough year, and we're probably still in the midst of it in a certain way. But as we reflect on the year gone by, perhaps it's revealed more of us, new things about us as a church that's drawn us together. We've had more people tune into our church services online through social media. We need to be grateful for all the things that God has given to us. There's a lovely little Winnie the Pooh cartoon. Do you want to put that up? Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. We need to be grateful people. And it distinguishes us as a family here at NVBC to be grateful. Grateful for what God has done for us. Being grateful allows us to reflect on what God is doing and has done in our lives, the blessings that we have received from Him. Gratitude allows us to be thankful. It's an attitude of thankfulness. Next slide. It gives us an attitude of thankfulness that we can be thankful for many big things, but also the small things. As that verse that was up at the end of that video, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all things. And secondly, we need to be grateful, thanking God for what you have. We often grumble about the things we don't have and we wish it would come quicker. But sometimes we also need to be grateful for what God has blessed us now. What He's brought you through this week. What God has brought you through over the year gone by. Be thankful. Be grateful. Because God has given those things to you. Not begrudging the things that you don't have. And we go through life, we look at other people and go, I wish I had that. Man, my little, what is it, little snack box compared to their variety bucket. Go on with a KFC. But let's, rather than begrudging people and what they have, be thankful and content for what we have. And that was a secret to Paul's ministry, the Apostle Paul's ministry. He was content with anything that he had. Let us grow to be content and grateful for what we have, for what God has done and given for us. Because as we are grateful for how God has blessed us, guess what the Bible tells us to do? It tells us to then bless others. Go to the next graphic there. Gratitude is being thankful for what God has done for us and given to us and blessed us. And that doesn't stop there. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, is then to pass that blessing on to other people. To bless other people. We are not little man and woman islands. We are one together as a church. We are not just to be grateful for what God has done for me and be bragging about that, but that we should bless one another through the good times and the bad times as well. I want to talk a bit about that passage that I got you to open up to, Philippians chapter 4, because it's really Paul opening his heart to the church of Philippi. And it's toward the end of a book of the Bible that really is the gospel of joy. And joy is actually mentioned in the book of Philippians 15 times. And it's Paul sharing his heart of joy and the joy of knowing other Christians, the joy of doing ministry, the joy of hearing the great stories that come from that church at Philippi. And then he says in verses 14 to 20, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles," says Paul. "Moreover, as you Philippians know," "as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me, and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Paul lived off the smell of an oily rag. He really did. He did have a job. It is known that he was a tent maker, but he did that just to supplement what he was doing around as he traveled from place to place, sharing the gospel, sharing the great news that Gentiles could unite with Jewish Christians to become the church, the kingdom of God here on this planet. And Paul lived by faith, and he relied on others to support him financially and in practical ways as well. There were times that he asked a friend to make sure that they brought his cloak over just to keep him warm on cold nights in the dungeon, in prison. Paul needed help. Paul was surrounded by friends. We have had opportunities over the years to be generous. To be generous. I was asking Craig this morning, tell me some stories about what this church has done in the way of generosity over the years. And we didn't even have to go past last year, really. Craig was sharing with me how we put out a plea to a program to support some global interaction missionaries, the Crane family over in Malawi. And we set the bar low because, you know, it was the middle of COVID and we were a bit disjointed and the priorities weren't quite there. And the project, we thought we'd just reach one project. Well, the money for that project came in 1 week. We were expecting a month. So then we went for a second and a third. And then in the end, I think we had four different projects that we generously gave towards the needs of our missionaries overseas. For those of you who were here when we rebuilt this building, there was a call out for proceeds and generosity from the members and the partners in our church. We raised $1 million and more money keeps coming in to support the needs of this church. We run a church with four pastors and one office. What do you call yourself, Liesl? Jack of all trades, Jill of all trades. What's that? The boss, yes. Yeah. But you know, that takes money, obviously. And so the generosity of our church goes towards some of that as well. I remember when I pastored church back in at Macquarie Park. It was right by Macquarie University, and we had a lot of students come to our church. A lot of students who were Asian students, particularly, that never came to church. They just came to church because they thought that was the Australian thing to do. So they just went to church, not knowing anything about Jesus or anything. But as they spent time, they saw the offering plate going around, and in one of our discussions one day, they said, "Oh, So how do you get paid? You get paid by the Baptist denomination, don't you?" I said, "No, I get paid by what gets put in that plate." And they went, "Oh, okay, we thought that, you know, you got paid through some other way." Our generosity to our church pays the bills. Now, I can kind of say that, and Craig might be more reluctant to say this, but as a visiting speaker, guest speaker, I can say that. This church relies on our church generosity, and it overflows. I don't come here begrudging anything that we're giving, because we are certainly blessed as a church by the generosity of those that come to our church. We do have a healthy budget. We've even had opportunities to help our neighbour next door whose tree had fallen onto his shed roof, and we raised $8,000 to put a new shed together for them, just out of the love that we had. And it doesn't stop at just generosity through money. Generosity through time. We started this church service only 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And we've had so many people put their hand up saying, "How can I help? How can I help in the hospitality? How can I help in the setting up or the packing up?" And then the creativity. If you've seen any of the artwork and our coloured perspex board each week, and you've put something down, our worship team that just continues to build more and more with younger people expressing their desire to lead us into worship. That's how we can be generous. We can be generous in so many practical ways. We can be generous with our money, but we can also be generous with our time and our talents. All of us have talents. All of us have gifts. God calls us to give and be useful for his kingdom. Why should we be generous? Well, it comes out of this passage from Philippians chapter 4 real quickly. The first thing is, what it does for us as Jesus followers. Paul says in verse 14, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, and that you sent me aid more than once." It was obvious that the people believed in what Paul was doing, believed in the mission that he had, the ministry that he had, and they gave generously. But it was actually for their benefit. As we give, we actually feel good. There's been a lot of research about people giving donations to organizations or the art of generosity, they call it. And they find that those who are generous with their money, their time, volunteering, actually helps their own well-being. God has turned everything upside down in our value system and has shown that we can actually be happier and experience greater joy as we give, as we are generous. And Paul knew that. Secondly, it actually helps in determining what it does for our future. Paul says, in quite an obscure way, "Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account." Now, it doesn't sound, I don't think that he's got a ledger and he says, "Okay, James, you've put in $50. Good for you. Thanks, mate. $20 from Julie. Great." Not like that. But there is an investment in the future. There is an investment in what God is doing. And it credits all of us and our own account here at NVBC, as we all invest our time and our efforts and our finances to what God has called us to do. It requires our generosity. Thirdly, it's what it does for God. interestingly, again in verse 18. These offerings are like a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The art of generosity, yes, benefits us. It benefits those who we give to, but it is also pleasing to God. Why is that? Because God blessed you in the first place and he didn't want it to stop there. That was his plan in the first place, to bless you so that you would bless others. If you hold it back, then you're not fulfilling that cycle of blessing that God had set up. God has provided for you to provide for others, to bless others. And it's to his glory that we do all of that. And after all that, Paul reminds us that no matter how much we give, how much we are grateful and generous with our time and our resources, God will meet our needs. In verse 19. Because as we give, as we live a life of blessing others, God shows us what we really need. Not what we want, but what we need. And it helps us to, again, be grateful for the author of those blessings, God himself. And it results in great joy. It's a very, very fundamental part of our life here at NVBC to be grateful for all that God has done for us, to be thankful for what he has done in our lives, to be thankful and celebratory for all that God is doing in and through our church, being thankful for our pastors, being thankful for all those that join in with us and for what God is doing in and through us. But also, as we are blessed, let us continue to funnel that blessings out to those around us in generosity that we might bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Let me pray for us tonight. Maybe we just take a moment now in just quiet prayer, being thankful for things that we have, things that our Lord has done in our lives, being thankful for those around us, for certain events of our lives, for things that have happened over the last week. And now let's turn it around. Let's seek God's heart for us. How can we be a blessing this week? How can we be encouraging? How can we support someone who needs that support this week? Perhaps it's an encouraging word, an email, a text message. Maybe it's looking at how you can contribute to our church family here at NVBC. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You are a great God, a generous God, a loving God who knows exactly what we need. We thank you. And Heavenly Father, this afternoon as we've reflected on this, again, speaking to our hearts, how you might use us. Be a blessing to our family, to our friends, to our church, to people that you might cause us to come across throughout this week in some unexpected fashion. Lord God, help us to be people who are grateful and generous. In your precious and powerful name. Amen.
The- This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.